And so, y'all, this morning, y'all, we're going to engage in a new sermon series. The title of the sermon series is Join the Move, Experiencing God in Real Time. Sometimes I think we forget and we don't realize that God is always moving, that God is always active. God is always up to something, and God is moving right now. And so, y'all, we've been engaging in, on this past week, we started this new Bible study series, Experiencing God, Knowing and Doing the Will of God. I wonder how many people have anxiety when it comes to trying to understand what God wants you to do. That oftentimes we have this angst and this worry and this frustration because we want, am I doing what God really wants me to do in my life? Sometimes it feels like we're this needle in a haystack and we're searching through the hay to find that one thing, maybe that one thing that God wants us to do. Well, I came to kind of destroy that myth. It doesn't really work quite that way. God does have a will. God does have a purpose and a plan for your life. So the purpose of this study, y'all, is to awaken believers to the radically God-centered way of life. When we live our lives in a God-centered way, God will show you his will. God will show you what he wants you to do in the moment, in real time. Yeah. Whether you're in the Walmart, yes, or the HEB, or at a restaurant, or in your home, or you're teaching in school, or wherever you are, God will show you what he wants you to do in that moment.
Yeah.
The purpose of this study is to come to know God in an intimate way. That as we do the will of God, it starts with a relationship with him, a love relationship with God. No, he loves you and you love him. And then we can recognize the voice of God. And we come to understand his will for our lives. God is inviting you and me to experience him in an intimate love relationship. And God is revealing himself to you and to me right now. God wants us to know his will, his ways, and his work. Have you ever heard the expression, this is not a moment, it's a movement? Yes. Maybe you've heard that far too many times. This is not a moment, it's a movement. It's a phrase that we hear when there are unprecedented, uncertain times, that people start movements, that a movement is different than a moment. That a movement happens over a period of time. It's a collective effort when people come together with an issue, a thing that's bigger than they are, a movement. There was the abolitionist movement, the 1830s to 1865, where they sought to dismantle the institution of slavery in America. There was a women's suffrage movement, fought for the rights of women to vote. There was a time in our history, maybe it's hard to believe, when women could not vote. There was the labor movement, the 1800s to the 1930s, that they fought for workers' rights and fair wages in America. Of course, we remember the Civil Rights Act or the Civil Rights Movement, the 1950s and the 1960s, as people stood against racial segregation and discrimination. But a movement is a process, that it takes time. That a movement is to bring about change. Change in our world, change in our home, change in our neighborhood, change in America, change around the world. It's a process of change over time. It's a collective effort that's bigger than one individual's thing. So what if, think about this for a moment, what if the greatest movement in history was a move of God? What if we saw our Christian faith as bigger than simply showing up for a worship service on Sunday?
Amen.
That our Christian faith is bigger than, and we ought to clap our hands, we ought to shout, but what if we saw our faith as something bigger than what we do inside of four walls?
Yeah.
What if you saw our Christian faith as God at work, not just in the world, but God at work in and through us? That God wants you to participate and what he's doing in the world. That it's the very heart of God to bring people into a saving relationship with him. Ask yourself, how are you involved in the work of God in this moment, in this hour, and in this season?
Yeah.
That the common goal of God is to save people, but it's all for his glory. So in this sermon series, we learned that God is not, he's not waiting on us. God is already at work. God is already moving. God is already active. God is already doing things. He's up to something. But God is inviting you. We have the privilege to join God in what God is doing. We look at the Bible. God was at work in the life of Abraham, and even before that, before he called him to be the father of many nations. That God was at work in the life of Moses before he became the great deliverer of God's people. That God was at work even before David's life, that God was working in his life as he was killing bears and lions and tigers and all of that stuff. God was at work in his life. And listen, God is at work in your life. I need you to hear me in real time, right now, today, in this moment, God is at work. So based upon this study, experiencing God, I want us to explore over the next few weeks some of the realities that reveal how God is at work and how we align our lives with God. Did you hear what I said? You have to align your life with God. We need to get that. You know, so we skip through life and we want to do stuff our way, you know, when we want to do it. But at some point in your life, listen, there's going to come a crisis in your life. And the writers of the book called The Crisis of Belief. It's going to be God's way or your way. Which one will you choose? And so the aim of this series is to shift us from a spectator to a participant. God no longer wants you to be a spectator. He wants you to be a participant in the work that he's doing in the world. So turn within your Bibles real quickly to John chapter 5. John chapter 5, verses 16 through 20. I'm reading from the New Living Translation of the Bible. If you are able to stand, we do ask that you would please stand. John chapter 5, verses 16 through 20. It says this. So the Jewish leaders began harassing Jesus for breaking the Sabbath rules. But Jesus replied, "My Father is always working, and so am I." So the Jewish leaders tried all the harder to find a way to kill him. For he had not only broke the Sabbath, he called God his Father, thereby making himself equal with God. Imagine that. So Jesus explained, "I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him everything he is doing. In fact, the Father will show him how to do even greater works than healing this man. Then you will truly be astonished." I encourage our hearts this morning from this thought as we preach in this series, Join the Move, Experiencing God in the Real Time. God is already moving. Are you missing out? Before you sit down, look at somebody to your left or right and say this to them. God is already moving. Are you missing out? You may be seated in God's presence. So here in the text, John chapter 5, Jesus has healed a man at a pool called Bethesda. But this man had been paralyzed for some 38 years. He was lame. He could not walk. But there's a miracle that takes place. And one would think that there would be great celebration that Jesus heals this lame at 38 years. Can you imagine in this moment? Somebody walked down right now. They're in a wheelchair. And by the power of God, lay hands on, and they get up and they begin to walk. We'd be cheering, we'd be shouting, we'd be thanking God, but that's not what's happening in the story, in the text for today. Then when we look at these religious leaders, that they harass Jesus, they criticize him for healing on the Sabbath, for healing on what we would call a Sunday. I don't know about you, but whenever God decides to bless me, to move in my life. I don't care whether it's Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. However he decides to move, let God move. So what I want to see, the tension in this story, y'all, the tension in the text is, it's really not about God moving and healing and what Jesus did. That is true, he did do this. But it's about recognizing that Jesus was moving, that God was moving, that God was at work, that Jesus was at work. Because far too many of us, God is working all around us and we don't even notice the fun. We don't even see it. So many other things have got our attention and our mind that we don't see that God is moving on our behalf, and he's moving right now. And all of this is taking place, that they're upset with Jesus. They're harassing him. Why are you doing this on the Sabbath? You know, we're not supposed to do that. That's against the law. But Jesus makes this bold statement. My Father is always working, and so am I. So this statement reveals that God never stops moving. He never stops working. God is always active. Even when people are passive, God is active. The problem is not about God's inactivity. It's about our inability to receive or perceive what God is doing. I like what the rapper Ludacris said in that song. He said, stand up. When I move, you move just like that. I wonder if we could do that for God. Can we stand up and when God says move, we move just like that? God is moving, God is active, and he wants us to be that as well. So we're gonna look at this text this morning and gain a few takeaways that can help us to move out so we don't miss out on any mighty movements of God, individually in our own personal lives and in the work of this ministry, this church. First know this, that God's work is constant. Even when we don't recognize it, God's work is constant. Even when we don't recognize it. Look again at verses 16 and 17. So the Jewish leaders began harassing Jesus for breaking the Sabbath rules. But Jesus replied, my Father is always working and so am I. Again, we said it before, they upset. They mad at Jesus because he's healing on the Sabbath. They probably mad because they couldn't do it either. They couldn't do it. But Jesus did. But their theology was wrong because their theology said, listen, the Sabbath is the day of rest. That was according to Jewish custom and rule and law that you did nothing on the Sabbath, y'all. Some of y'all know the practice that we used to do, the grandmama and them. Listen, when the Sabbath day comes, you couldn't play no cards. You couldn't play no dominoes. You couldn't play your belly rubbing music. You couldn't do nothing, you know. The night before, you couldn't do nothing. You know, they iron them clothes out. You know, they get dinner ready. When Sunday came, listen, that was the Lord's day. That was the day to go to church, y'all. That was the day to shout. That was the day to serve God, and you go home and you rest. And they heat up that food, and you eat, and you rest. But again, the theology was wrong. Genesis chapter 2, after God finishes creating everything that he created, on the seventh day, the Bible says that after he created everything, that God rested. But don't get it twisted, don't get it confused, that God rested from his creation. He rested from that, but God didn't sit down. God didn't go to sleep. God was still working. The word working in the Greek means ergozome. It implies continuous work, ongoing activity. God did not cease activity after creation. God was always sustaining, always governing, always redeeming, always delivering, and he's doing it right now. That God doesn't stop. Psalm 121 verses 3-4 says this. It says, he, God, will not let you stumble. The one who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel neither sleeps nor slumbers. God doesn't need an alarm clock, y'all. He doesn't need no doze. He needs no sleep aid. Need that ashwagandha with whatever it is. I don't need none of that stuff. God does not sleep. He does not slumber. God is always active. And the good news is he's active in your life. He's working on your behalf and my behalf. Even though you can't see it, he's working. Even though you can't feel it, he's working. He never stops. He never stops working. But we do. Then we can go to sleep on God. We can be surrounded, y'all, by so much movement. The movement of God and still miss out on what God is doing because we locked into our own traditions. Well, traditions that God got to do it that way because that's the way God always did it. You know, routine says this, we got to do it this way over and over and over again. That our own expectations of how we think God ought to move, they mess us up. Because we get locked into this way of thinking about how God wants to move. And God says, just be in relationship with me. Be in a loving relationship with me, and I'll show you how to move, when to move, and what I'm doing so you can go to work with me. Yeah. Even when we look at this story of this man at the pool of Bethesda, well-known story, y'all, that Jesus asked the man just one pointed question. What did he ask him? Would you like to get well? Would you like to be healed? Wait a minute. If Jesus was showing up here right now, and he looked you in your face and said, do you want to be well? Do you want to be healed? What would your response be? Yes. Would it really? Yes, sir. We think that. Because I believe this, the unseen God may be asking some questions right now about what he wants to do in your life. But is your response in the affirmative? Is your response, I want to be well. I want to be delivered. I want my marriage healed. I want my body healed. I want my life right. He's asking, but what's your response? Yes. Well, man started giving, he gave a routine, y'all. He gave a tradition. Well, you know, Reverend Dr. Jesus, you know, I come down to this pool, and, you know, the water bubbling and all of that stuff, and, you know, and I want to step in, but somebody steps in the water before me, and so I don't get the healing. That's not what Jesus asked him. He asked him, do you want to be well? Do you want to be healed? When we walk with God, when we move with God, when we're in a love relationship with God, and God speaks, we ought to be able to hear his voice. Yes, yes, yes. And to do what God is asking us to do. Listen, there's a story of a man was in his early 40s, y'all, and had a good job, real good job, making real good money. But one day, he lost his job. Out of nowhere, out of the blue, the man lost his job. Didn't see the signs coming, did nobody told him. The man had to take care of his family, y'all. And so he asked God, God, I need you to open a door for me. I need to do something. He prayed and he prayed and he prayed. He filled out interviews. When you pray, you need to fill out a resume too. Interview a resume. Yes, sir. Oh, let me say that again. When you pray, you need to fill out the resume too. Okay? Pray and do what? Okay, y'all got me on that. So the man, he prays and he goes to different interviews. He doesn't get the job. And so the man is feeling really hopeless and helpless. You know, he's questioning who he is as a man, his ability to take care of his family. The bank account got low. And out of nowhere, he fills out a resume. He gets a call. He does an interview, but it's for a part-time job. This job was well beneath his experience and his ability. But the man took the job because he needed the money to take care of his family. Let me say it again. The man took the job. It wasn't what he wanted, but he took the job because he paid some money to take care of his family. Y'all didn't hear me right there. See, cause y'all know how we get. I ain't doing that job. I'm better than that. No, if you pay some money and you can pay your mortgage or your rent, you can buy some food for your family, take the job. Take the job. Take the job. Yeah. The man takes the job. Knew it was beneath his ability. But one day while he was at a coffee pot, on a break, he talks to a gentleman. He's telling the gentleman about his skill set and this stuff like this. The man said, wait a minute. I got a friend that runs another company. Let me talk to him about you. And the man did it. So the fella filled out the resume and he sent the resume off to him, and the man got the job. He got the job. But this is something the man realized. After some period, he got the job, y'all. It was better money than the first job. That he spent more time with his family than he ever spent with his time. He had more passion for this new job than any other job in his life. But here's what he said after a period of time. He said, you know, I kept asking God to open the door. And I didn't realize he already had. I just didn't like what it looked like. Somebody need to hear me today. That God is moving in your life. That God is opening doors. And you just don't like what it looks like. Maybe it's a little hard. Maybe it's a little bit. But he's opening doors. Walk through the door. Listen to the voice of God. Follow his voice. And do what God is asking you to do. Look at your neighbor and say, God is moving. Even in those times that I don't recognize it. Another takeaway, y'all. Another takeaway. We've got a couple more. We're going to get out. We're going to go get some chicken, y'all. Another takeaway that can help us move out and not miss out on the movement of God is to recognize that religion can make you criticize what God is doing, what God is up to. Look at again at verses 16 and 18. So the Jewish leaders began harassing Jesus for breaking the Sabbath rules. And then y'all, in verse 18, so the Jewish leaders tried all the harder to find a way to kill him, for he had not only broken the Sabbath, he called God his father, thereby making himself equal with God. So you see the story, instead of celebrating this great healing, this miracle, they persecuted Jesus. They sought to kill Jesus because of what he did on the Sabbath, but greater than that, because he considered himself equal with God. What was wrong with these religious believers? What was the issue? They allowed their religious beliefs, their religious thoughts to get in the way. How God ought to move, who God ought to look like. That this Messiah, this guy calls himself the Messiah. This is the one that he was not born of royal blood, blue blood, that he didn't fit the description, that he didn't have a whole bunch of money. He did not fit the description. So they did not believe. Their religion got in the way. What is religion? Religion, plain and simple, in simple terms, is doing something over and over. We see it in terms of church and faith, and we call them religions, but religion, in a short answer, is doing something rote, doing something routine and over and over. Hopefully all of us did something religious today, that you got up this morning and you took a bath. Okay? That you got something to eat, that you put your clothes on, you got in your car, and you came to worship service today. You came to worship service, you lifted your hands, you opened up your mouth, you gave praise to God. All of that's a part of religion in a sense, but religion, if we're not careful, y'all, it can get in the way of our relationship with God. Yeah. And it did for the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious leaders of that day. That the purpose of the miracle that Jesus did as a priority was to prove that Jesus was who he said he was. He was the messenger. He was the Christ. He was the Messiah. Too often times in our day, y'all, when we come to church, so something else has to be the end and not simply the means. That miracles verified that Jesus was, in fact, who he said he was. That he was sent from God, that he was the Messiah. So, but the miracles were a means to an end. And let me just speak parenthetically right here really quickly. Because if we're not careful, we allow our religiosity to make us think that, you know, when someone gets healed in church, you know, we can shout and all of that, but that's not the end, that's just a means. That God is speaking and showing us something else. That y'all, we get hooked up in social justice and feeding people, and we ought to do all of those things, y'all. We come to church and we're looking for healing on our mental health, our physical well-being, our financial outlook, and that becomes the end for us. I got everything I needed. Then we come to church and we worship. If we're not careful, we worship. Oh, didn't they shout today? Y'all, didn't we have a good time? Oh, didn't they sing the song today? We had a great time, and that's it. But in your worship, when God is healing, when God is doing all these wonderful things, in that moment, God is up to something, something greater. Do you not know what God really wants to do? Do you not know what God's real will is? God's will is that people would be saved. Before we were ever born, that was God's will, that people would be saved. People will come to know Jesus. And God wants to use you and me to that end. But even worse for these religious leaders, they were more committed to rules than revelation. Yeah, they missed out on the miracle, this magnificent move of Jesus. That they thought that day was a Sabbath violation, but it was a day that the Savior was delivering, the Savior was healing. Y'all remember the story in Matthew chapter 13, verses 43 through 58, when Jesus goes home, his hometown in Nazareth. And people are asking the question, is there any, what good thing can come out of Nazareth? Jesus, that's Joseph's boy. He ain't nobody. Them rough hands he got, you know, he a carpenter like his daddy. Who does he say think he is? And what does Jesus say when you go to those verses? Y'all read it, Matthew 13, 43 through 58. He says this in verse 57. A prophet is honored everywhere except in his own hometown, among his own family. Then in verse 58, y'all, this is sad. And so he did only a few miracles because of their unbelief. They could not understand or perceive who Jesus actually was. I found out that familiarity can breed contempt. Yes. And so can religiosity. Yes. Because we got the tradition. We got our ways of doing things. And God said, I'm ready to bust a move. I'm about to blow your mind. And we're still thinking, well, God, but God, you got to do it this way. That, you know, I read in your word, God know his word. That you got to do it. It's supposed to, no. But now, you know, the bylaws and the Constitution, they say, now we got to do, nah, we can't do it that way. Look, y'all might throw me out of here. I'm the pastor. But I'll be doggone. If I'm going to some bylaw or some constitution, stop a move of God. We can rewrite that rascal, but we're going to do what God is asking us to do. Living Faith Community Church, I believe that God is up to something. There's a great movement of God throughout the land, a great movement of God in Senate, a great movement of God in our community, and God wants to use us to that end. And we're going to do what God wants us to do. Listen, you can be in a church, you can be a leader, you can lead in the ministry and still miss the movement of God. You can miss what God is up to, what God is doing. And God didn't want us to do that. Sometimes it doesn't fit our framework and our way of being and our way of doing, but God is up to something. It's like y'all rejecting a life-saving package because it didn't arrive in the wrapping that we expected. There's a story, a very familiar story of this man who was drowning. The man is on his rooftop, y'all. It's raining, it's pouring down, it's flooding. And so the man prays to God, God, I need you to save me. God, won't you come and save me? God, save me. And after a while, a rowboat comes along. The man talks to the man on the rowboat. No, that's okay. God said he's going to save me. I'm good. God's got me. Right. After that, a motorboat comes along. Man said, come on, get on the motorboat. Come on. No, I can't get on this motorboat. God says he's going to save me. I'm waiting on the Lord. I'm waiting on God to move. Then a helicopter shows up, y'all. The man would not get on the helicopter. He kept repeating, I'm just waiting on God. I'm waiting on God. So the man died. He drowned. Went to heaven. Got his day with the Lord. Said, Lord, you remember I was asking you to save me. I was asking you to make a way for me. God, you didn't come through. God said, listen, I sent you a rowboat. I sent you a motorboat. I sent you a helicopter. And yeah, that's the way we are with God sometimes, yeah, that God is moving, y'all, and we're not even aware of what God is doing. God is at work. And God wants you and me to join him in his work. God wants you and me to join him in his work. And so be careful. Don't let religiosity, your thoughts about how God is moving, don't let that stuff get in the way. Resist all of that stuff in your head and let God do what God wants to do. But it presupposes, again, you have a love relationship with him. Yeah. When you're tight with God, when you have this intimate relationship, you can hear God speak. Yeah. The deeper our relationship with God, the better we understand God's will. Did you hear me? The deeper your relationship with him, the more you can understand the will of God. The last takeaway, they help us to move out so that we don't miss out on the movement of God, is simply this, that Jesus invites us to join what God is already doing. Jesus invites us to join in on what God is already doing. Verses 19 through 20. So Jesus explained, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. Wow. He does only what he sees the Father doing. This is Jesus speaking, y'all. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him everything he is doing. In fact, the Father will show him how to do every even greater works than healing this man. Then you will truly be astonished. Wow. But when it came to his earthly ministry, Jesus, who was God and equal with God, that he submitted himself to the Father. That whatever the Father said, that's what Jesus would speak. Whatever the Father asked him to do, That's what Jesus would do. That Jesus was in perfect alignment with the Father. And my fear for some of us, that we're not in alignment with God. That God, y'all been in the car sometimes and it needs a wheel alignment. You're trying to hold on to the steering. You let go and the car goes this way. You know, you try, and it goes this way because the car is out of, some of our lives, they are out of alignment with God. God is speaking and God is moving, but our lives are out of alignment with him. But that, because that alignment starts with a loving relationship with God. A relationship that's based on obedience and submission to God. Those are hard words, aren't they? Obedience and submission to God. God, I want your blessing. I want to see you move in my life, but God, I need to do it. I got to do it my way, God. God, do it on my timetable. And God doesn't operate that way. That it flows out of a loving relationship with God. Jesus said that the Father loves me and I love him. And so the same way that Jesus followed the Father, we must follow Jesus. I am the vine. And you are the branches. If you remain in me, I'm going to remain in you. And you'll bear much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. All of that good preaching and praising and shouting and worshiping and serving that you do, you could not do without God. Jesus invites you and me to join in with whatever God is doing, whatever God is up to. Greater than healing the lame man, Jesus would go on, he'd go on to raise people from the dead. He raised Lazarus from the dead. And even greater, he would go to Calvary's cross. He would die for you and for me. But he did not stay dead, as the old folks say. 3 days later, he got back with all power in his hands. Philippians chapter 2, I'm almost done, y'all, verses 12 through 13. It says this, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, because it's God that's working in you and me to will and to do his good pleasure. The text is not talking about losing your salvation. It's talking about working for God. It's talking about being in alignment with God, being in alignment with Jesus. Work out means to bring to fruition or completion. And so how do we do this? By actively pursuing a loving relationship with God so that we can hear his voice and respond to him in real time in the moment. That trembling, it's an attitude of reverence and awe of God. I fear sometimes we've lost our reverence and our awe for God. That we come into the house and we're worshiping now, praising, and we're thinking about what we're going to eat for dinner and what's coming next. That we lose our fear, our admiration, and our awe of God. That we totally depend on him to do what he wants us to do. So we honor God by living as he lives. By living as Jesus lives. Ask ourselves that question, y'all. What would Jesus do? And then what would Jesus have us to do? I think that can help us to move out, y'all. To move into what God wants us to do. That God is already at work. And God wants you and me to join him. God is in the business of saving people. And guess what? We're in the family business. You're in the family business. The way you live. The way you talk. All ought to represent Jesus well. How does your life line up with Jesus? How do the words that you speak, not just the hallelujah and thank you, Jesus, on the Sunday morning church, but I'm talking about when folks running you off the road. When people on your job getting on your nerves. Look at me, don't look around. Family, come on, husbands and wives. When she getting on your last nerve, you getting on his last nerve. Are you representing Jesus well? It's all for his glory. Let me say this one more time. God is not waiting for us to start a thing. That he's already doing some things. He's up to something. He wants us to join him in what he's doing. So the question is not, God, bless what I'm doing, but God, where are you moving? And God, I'm going to jump in where you're moving. Have you ever been walking through the airport, carrying your bags, y'all, and you get tired? And they have this walkway in the middle of the airport. And that walkway is constantly moving. And so to get on that walkway, you just simply have to jump in. You have to jump on and let it carry you in the direction you need to go. I believe the same thing happens in our relationship with God, that God is moving, y'all, that God is up to something. And God wants us to step on. He wants to step on it. And God can carry that, can't keep the heavy weight, but to go in the direction he wants us to go. God is still up to something. God is still healing. Will you step in? God is still saving. Will you step in? Yeah. That God is still restoring. Will you step in? That God is still opening doors. Will you step in? That God is still moving in families. Will you step in? That God is still healing bodies. Will you step in? God is still delivering. Will you step in? God is still moving in the church. Will you step in? Moving in communities. Will you step in? Real question, y'all. Are you missing out? Are you missing out on the greatest movement in history? That God is up to something, that God is saving people. Are you an active participant or are you a spectator? Where are you? Ask yourself that question. Be present and not perceptive. People are religious but not responsive, watching but not participating. God is moving right now, y'all. In this very moment, God is up to something right now. God is moving right now. Can you say right now? I will not miss out. I will not miss out. Oh, y'all ain't talking to me. I will not miss out. That I'm joining God in his word. I will join God in his word. And the church said, amen. I knew this wasn't going to be no shouting message. So let me say this. If you've been stuck in a routine, ask God to open your eyes. To see what he's up to see how he's moving all around you and in your life. If you've been critical instead of receptive, ask God to soften your heart. Maybe you've been broken. Maybe you've been hurt. Maybe you've been through some things. Maybe life has been lifing. And say, God, I quit. I ain't doing nothing. I'm just gonna show up to church. I'm gonna breathe. I'm gonna do what I do. I'm gonna drop a little offering in and I'm going home. It's not enough. That he'd save you to sit. It'll save you just to say, I'm a fan of God, but to be a true follower. If you've been inactive, ask God where he wants you to step in. Because God is taking us somewhere. Living faith, God is taking this ministry somewhere. And God is expecting you and me to join in. But we got to hear God speaking, so we can move when God moves, just like that. The church said amen. God is already moving. The only question left for you and me is, will you move with him? Pray with me now. Father, thank you so much for this word. God, thank you for the vision of the great things that you want to do through this ministry, the things, great things you've already done. But the half is yet to be told. Help us to stay rooted and grounded in you. Rooted and grounded in your word. To remain in a love relationship with you, Jesus. So that as you speak, we hear your voice. My sheep hear my voice. Another they will not follow. God, speak to hearts right now. That individually, God, as it relates to our family situations, as it relates to marriages, our jobs, and our lives, oh God, to be in step with you, to do what you want us to do, to go where you want us to go, that we might fulfill your will for our lives, that we might fulfill your will in real time, right now and today. Father, in this moment, we know that it's your will that none should perish, that all would come to a saving relationship with Jesus. God, we believe what your word says. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fallen short of your glory. We believe, God, according to Romans 6:23, the eternal life is a free gift, only comes through Jesus. We believe Romans chapter 5, verse 8, because of your great love for us, Jesus, you paid the penalty for our sins. And we confess, Jesus, with our mouths, we believe in our hearts you raised him from the dead, Father. Father, we believe in Romans 10:13 that we ask you to save in this very moment. Save to the utmost all who will come to Jesus. And so if you're here today to place your faith in Jesus and to receive his free gift of eternal life, the first thing that you have to do is recognize that you are a sinner who needs to be saved. And the only way you can be saved is through a relationship with Jesus. And in this moment, you confess and agree with God. That's what they confess. It's about agreeing with God about your sins. All have sinned and fallen short. And then we repent. We turn from our sins and we turn to God. We ask Jesus to save us by his grace. And we turn over the ruler of our lives to Jesus, letting him be the Lord of our lives in every area of our lives. Pray with me again. Father, speak by the power of your Spirit. God, save to the utmost, even in this moment, all that would come to you. Holy Spirit, do what only you can do. We can preach the gospel, teach the gospel, present the gospel, but only you can save. Father, we pray for those that may be saved, but they're not connected to a local church where they can fellowship with other believers, serve with other believers, pray with other believers. Speak to hearts right now, Holy Spirit. Draw them as only you can. We surrender to you. Have your way in this moment. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Amen. There's someone here today, and maybe you feel this tug on the inside, this drawing, and I want to let you know that God's speaking right now. He's moving by his Spirit. Our ushers are standing in the aisles right now. Their hands are extended. You can get up from where you are in this very moment. Follow them across the hallway to room number one. You'll meet with one of our new member ministry advisors. They'll gather some information, and we'll welcome you with open arms. Maybe you're here today and you're already saved. You know Jesus in the pardon of your sins. That you have a saving relationship with, and you know it, and you know it. Living Faith Community Church is a church where we're connecting real life to a real faith. You need to be planted somewhere in some church. And we believe this is a mighty good place to be. That we are not a perfect church. We're not a perfect people, but we serve a perfect God. And I believe we are a loving church. So won't you come right now? Hands are extended. Won't you come? You don't rush this moment. Won't you come quickly? Come. Don't sit. Won't you come?
You've just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1111 Tally Road in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for Sunday worship service at 9 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study via Zoom at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, where we're connecting real life to a real faith.